Welcome to this episode of The Reloop Brief. I'm Barry Sneddon. This time, we're turning our attention to an everyday item that has quietly become a major environmental threat across the global south. Sachets. In this episode, Shraddha Kumar spoke with Marian Ledesma, zero waste campaigner at Greenpeace Philippines. We'll hear about the origins of what are now being referred to as a sachet economy, as well as looking at the barriers to alternatives and the powerful role that corporations and governments can play in shifting away from these hard-to-manage packaging formats to more sustainable alternatives.
This word may not be very familiar to our listeners in North America or Europe, but back in Asia and essentially all of the global south, we are very familiar with both the problems and the conveniences stemming out of the crisis of sachets. So could you please talk to us about why sachets are such a big problem? And is it a problem of just littering? Is it a problem of recyclability? Could you walk us through that a bit?
Yeah, so sachets are probably what in other regions you would call pouches or plastic packets, but essentially they're multi-layer plastic packaging. So it's not just one kind of plastic that's there, but different types of plastics that are being utilized. And what makes these sachets so difficult to manage is because of just that. There's different types of materials that go into a sachet. And for them to be viable for traditional recycling, you would need to strip them and separate them into different layers. And what we're seeing is that in many places in Asia and in the global south, sachets are being introduced as a form of packaging for different kinds of fast-moving consumer goods. So everyday essentials from personal care to food and household care products, they're being packaged in these different types of flexible plastic packaging that are in reality basically impossible to recycle because there's no one that is going to go through each sachet and strip them layer by layer just so they can be sent into the to the appropriate recycling facility. And here in the Philippines, we're actually called a sachet economy. So other countries that are also considered sachet economies are Indonesia, you have India. So many of the countries in Southeast Asia and South Asia are actually considered sachet economies because they're just now so prevalent.
The role of producers is something that often comes up in these conversations. So how would you say corporate strategies in general have contributed to this rise of sachets in what we're now calling sachet economies? And what kind of accountability or leadership should we be hoping to see from corporations? You know, really, it's plaguing our countries and it needs to be dealt with. So what are your thoughts on that?
Their responsibility in the rise of sachet usage, it really does stem from them. Because previously, if you look at cultural practices, like traditional norms in different parts of the global south, across the Asia Pacific region, you'll see that most of the cultures there have been built on sustainable practice and actually the practice of reuse. We didn't have to call it like reuse, but essentially those were the practices that were uprooted by commercial systems, such as all of these in disposable packaging. These business models that introduce sachets essentially took different kinds of practices in different countries and just started shifting these practices to now being in plastic or sachet packaged formats.
What kinds of practices existed for distributing and accessing consumer goods, and how did they typically move through the different communities?
In the Philippines, for example, we have this tingit culture. Is essentially the idea of procuring or buying goods in small volumes or small volume retail. And people did it by refilling or bringing their own bottles, reusable containers to the markets. And this has also been seen in India and Indonesia, where people were buying in volumes that was acceptable for them or affordable for them, buying just enough of what they need for that day. So looking at this, what has been done is that corporations sort of manipulated these kinds of cultures and then said, okay, we can reach a certain portion of the market by selling our goods in smaller volumes and let's package it in plastic because this is what's easiest for them. And now that has become, unfortunately, the norm. For the Philippines, people associating it not anymore with the idea of buying just enough. Now they associate it with sachets, which wasn't how tingit started. So that has been unfortunate. And I think we have to hold companies accountable and require them through policy and through public pressure as consumers, as citizens, to shift back to better sustainable business models like reuse and refill systems.
And could you give us some examples of what those policies should look like?
I think India has EPR and some single-use plastic bans. Sri Lanka, I believe, also has regulations, and Indonesia has one. For the Philippines, we have our extended producer's responsibility law. But if you look at all of these different frameworks or different policies, is that each country has like a different interpretation of it, different levels of what should be regulated, which should be banned or phased out, who's involved. Unfortunately, like for the Philippines, our EPR only mandates large enterprises, so huge companies. And at the same time, they're only mandated to reach a recovery target. Now, EPR in other countries require companies to pay a fee for their plastic footprint or for the amount of plastic that they produce or put out into the market. And that fee goes into like for government programs, public efforts. So it's varying degrees of making companies accountable. But yeah, that's something that is definitely up there on the wish list. How feasible it is a completely different manner. And then, of course, how it can also be done nationally might also be an alternative. If we can't get that global framework, then there should be that sort of ambition, at least at national levels, so that it can be replicated across multiple countries or multiple regions.
And you spoke about reuse and refill systems. And one thing that often gets overlooked is how adaptable Global South communities are to these systems. And I just wanted to ask you about, because you've been at the helm of the Kuhasa Tingi project, what have your observations been about the communities and how they respond to going back to reuse and going back to refill?
Before we did Kuhasa Tingi, which was bringing refill dispensers to community stores, we actually did market research to ask the community members how they feel about leaving behind plastics, about shifting away from sachets. And three priorities kept showing up in different formats of how we did the research, from surveys to focus group discussions. One was they really value that it has to be as affordable as the format that we're replacing, which is sachets. It also should be accessible for them. And then convenience and simplicity of the model is also very important. There were also questions around what brands would be refilled. Is it safe? How are they, the brands that they're getting in sachets? Those kinds of questions. I think those set of questions can be answered by corporations being involved in adopting these models, because if they were to provide the same products, just changing how they distribute or deliver their goods to consumers, there's actually more open-mindedness from people about it. Like, they're willing to try, but the biggest concern for them is how much will it cost them? And I think for practical reasons, since we did ask low-income and middle-income communities what their priorities are, this does make sense, especially in our economic climate. And I think the answer to that is that with our project, we were able to provide goods that were equal to or cheaper than their sachet counterparts. So it can be done. Getting corporations involved is really crucial because they do have the resources to research, do development on it. They also have a lot of market data about the areas they serve, about the consumers that they're engaging. So that also helps you develop a better model. And I think this is why collaboration will be key into setting up these alternative systems that allow us to shift away from plastics.
Shraddha Kumar speaking with Marian Ledesma from Greenpeace Philippines. If you subscribe or follow, you'll automatically get details on our next podcast. Or if you like, you can check out previous episodes at reloopplatform.org.